Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Apple and Google have removed far-right social media platform Parler from their app stores, which means now the only place far-right wingers can spread their message is for 3 hours every night on Fox.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to Amber Ruffin and her sister, Lacey Lamar, about their new book, You'll Never Believe What Happened to Lacey. But first, a closer look.
House Democrats unveiled the text of their impeachment resolution today and called for the removal of President Trump through the 25th Amendment. Meanwhile, the Republicans who incited a violent insurrection to overthrow the government responded by telling everyone it was time to move on. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. The sitting president of the United States is the leader of a violent insurrectionist movement who incited a seditious mob of right-wing terrorists to ransack the Capitol and overthrow American democracy. And every day that he remains in office, he's a threat to continue inciting violence and breaking the law, including possibly pardoning himself and others. Impeachment and removal are the bare minimum we should expect from our elected leaders. And today, House Democrats began that process only to be blocked by Republicans.
Today, House Democrats tried to pass a resolution by unanimous consent calling for Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment. Republicans objected, so it failed. In response, Democrats have now introduced one article of impeachment against the president for inciting insurrection. A vote could come as soon as Wednesday.
A source close to Vice President Pence tells CNN that he has not ruled out potentially invoking the 25th Amendment, but there is some concern on his team about what President Trump could do, perhaps even worse, should they start moving on this.
I'm sorry, you're afraid of what else Trump could do? He already incited a violent mob to attack the U.S. Capitol. If that's not cause for removal, what is? Are you going to wait until he shows up in the fur Viking hat so we can all listen to Ted Cruz pretend to condemn it? The president and I often don't see eye to eye when it comes to sartorial choice, but it's just a Viking hat. He's not carrying a Confederate flag, and I notice now on the TV in my office that he does have a Confederate flag, but it's not like he's waving it around proudly. Oh, well, there he goes with the waving. Oh, you rarely see him do anything with that much gusto. Also, why are we waiting for Pence to act? He spent 4 years by this president's side as he's repeatedly excused or incited violence and sowed the destruction of our democracy. I feel like we're a group of school children at the zoo waiting for the sloth to do something. He's not going to do anything. Let's go see the polar bear. Why are we giving him 24 hours? There's nothing in the Constitution that says before you impeach the president, you have to give him a 24-hour head start. This isn't hide-and-seek. Although if it was, I'm betting it would be pretty easy to find Trump. He would definitely hide in the hamper and then yell, don't look in the hamper, you should try the basement, many people are saying it. In fact, the last time Congress impeached a deranged white supremacist who incited violence against his political enemies, Andrew Johnson, they actually did it before they wrote up formal articles of impeachment. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't do it again. I'm pretty sure you could hold a vote on a bar napkin that says get the f*** out. There's no reason to wait for Mike Pence to do anything. In fact, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi tried calling him last week to beg him to remove Trump through the 25th Amendment. and he wouldn't even come to the phone.
Speaker Pelosi and I tried to call the vice president this morning to tell him to do this. They kept us on hold for 25 minutes and then said the vice president wouldn't come on the phone.
We were kept on the line for 20 minutes. He was going to be here in a minute. Well, he never did.
They kept you on hold for 20 minutes?
At least.
The Speaker of the House and incoming Senate Majority Leader called the vice president to beg him to immediately remove from office a president who's an urgent threat to national security, and he put him on hold like they were calling Verizon customer service. Can you imagine that call?
In a few words, tell us what you're calling about.
Yeah, the 25th Amendment?
I heard. Upgrade my internet. Is that correct?
No, I said the 25th Amendment.
I heard. Add the Platinum Movie Package with Stars and Cinemax on demand for $9.99 a month. Is that correct?
No, so I'm calling about removing a president who incited a violent insurrection from office.
I heard. Stream episodes of The Office on Peacock. Is that correct?
No, and I don't appreciate the unauthorized in-house advertising. I have Premium Plus. All the content, none of the ads. This is an urgent matter of national security and the bare minimum for the preservation of our crumbling democracy. Today, the FBI warned of more possible violence across the country, and the National Park Service closed the Washington Monument for 2 weeks due to credible threats to disrupt Joe Biden's inauguration. And yet, today, Republicans blocked the Democrats' resolution, calling for the removal of Trump, and for the most part have come out against impeachment. And with only a few exceptions, the Republican Party is nearly unanimous in its belief that even in the aftermath of a deadly insurrection incited by the president and with more threats on the horizon, we should all just move on and let the man who incited a terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol walk away consequence-free.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy today said, quote, impeaching the president with just 12 days left in his term will only divide our country more.
You have Senator Lindsey Graham, who on the other foot is against impeachment. He says that's going to do more harm than good.
My personal view is that the president touched the hot stove on Wednesday and is unlikely to touch it again.
Roy, allow me to be blunt. You're a moron. Donald Trump doesn't learn lessons. He famously paid someone else to learn lessons so we could get into college. And no one loves touching hot stoves more than Donald Trump. He touches them with his entire face. I can't believe, and yet, of course, I can believe that these ghouls are hanging on to the he learned his lesson myth. Susan Collins said the same thing during the last impeachment, and famously, that worked out great. Forget learning his lesson. This guy needs to be tried for sedition and jailed and strapped to a gurney like Steve Buscemi and Con Air. And we're not just learning about future threats. With every day that passes, we're also learning about just how violent and menacing and deadly and heinous the riot really was and how much worse it could have been. A Capitol Police officer told BuzzFeed, that was a heavily trained group of militia terrorists that attacked us. And all the while, the president was watching it and encouraging it and enjoying it to multiple accounts. And so if you're a public figure in any capacity, but especially someone who was complicit in building or encouraging this violent insurrectionist movement that nearly toppled the United States government, the most important thing for you to be focused on right now, obviously, is how many followers do you have on Twitter?
For conservatives, there's suddenly a lot of complaints that they are abruptly losing a dramatic amount of followers. For example, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch says he's lost 22,000 followers. Our colleague at Fox, Brian Kilmeade, lost 30,000 followers in 4 hours.
Other high-profile Republicans are upset they're losing followers online after Twitter cracked down on accounts that spread QAnon conspiracy theories.
Friday or Thursday, I was at 1 million followers on Twitter. I had 1 million followers on Twitter just a couple of days ago, and now I'm down to 922,000.
I lost, over the weekend, 55,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, my God. You lost followers on Twitter? Someone call 911. Scratch that. Call 9111 for special emergencies, a.k.a. 911 Premium Plus. I know I ask this a lot, but what the is wrong with you people? A violent mob of seditionists stormed the Capitol in an attempt to overthrow democracy. People died, and you're whining about losing followers on Twitter? They also took away all my gold bars on Candy Crush. You know how hard it is to beat the Jelly Queen and Cupcake Carl? Thanks a lot, Big Tech. If a mob of violent terrorists lays siege to the Capitol and threatens to return, and your biggest concern is the number of Twitter followers you lost, you're a sociopath. And that's not just me saying that. I'm pretty sure that's in the DSM. Who monitors their Twitter follower count that closely anyway. The only thing more sociopathic than complaining about lost Twitter followers is bragging about gained Twitter followers. Pretty good week. Added a buck 20. I had some pretty sweet cat content. Also, and this is just a tip for the future, if Twitter announces that they're banning Nazis and insurrectionists and crazy conspiracy theory nutjobs, maybe don't complain at the exact same time that you're losing Twitter followers. That doesn't sound quite as sympathetic as you think it does. Well, 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 the police start rounding up the arsonists and suddenly I lose customers and my store kerosene matches R Us. And if you thought I couldn't get any more nauseating and self-serving than that, you were wrong. Because when they weren't complaining about losing followers on Twitter, the very same Republicans who spent months spreading monstrous lies about the election, who fed their rabid base a steady diet of unhinged conspiracy theories and fantasies of violent retribution, who incited an insurrectionist riot that breached the Capitol for the first time in 200 years, had the gall to turn around and start calling for unity and healing.
The White House just released that statement saying impeachment would, in the White House's words, only serve to further divide the country and that this is a time for healing and unity.
Now it is time for America to unite, to come together.
We're at an important point. I'm very concerned about where we're at. I hope we can begin to come back together.
We have a chance here to start over. President Trump did the right thing last night in the last 24 hours. Instead of trying to match what President Trump has done, the radical Democrats are talking about another impeachment that will destroy the country even further.
We've got to be able to bring volume down. Speaker Pelosi talking about, well, let's impeach the president with 1 week to go. And to try to drive this is trying to drive a wedge further, is trying to make a difficult situation more difficult. And right now, we need to turn the rhetoric down, not try to turn the volume up.
And let me begin by doing my part to begin the healing process, bring down the temperature, and tone down the rhetoric by saying this. Wait, first, can I have some calming music, please? Thank you. You cretinous insurrectionist gargoyles! Of course you guys want to move on. The kid who himself at prom is the one who always wants to shift the conversation to everyone's summer plans. So, Gary, it happened during the Macarena? It doesn't matter when it happened. Tell me about your internship. You guys incited a violent mob that rampaged across the Capitol trying to overthrow the government, and now you want us to seek unity and healing? I'd call you craven, soulless ghouls, but in the case of these seditionist dip, they're more like soul-devouring ghouls. I love a good southern fried soul with a side of peach tea and pecan pie. How can we find unity with people who literally want a confederacy? But when it came to faux, self-serving, let's lower the temperature rhetoric, the cake was taken by future former First Lady Melania Trump.
First Lady Melania Trump has just released a statement regarding last week's protests. She writes in part, "I am disappointed and disheartened with what happened last week. I find it shameful that surrounding these tragic events, there's been salacious gossip, unwarranted personal attacks, and false misleading accusations on me from people who are looking to be relevant and have an agenda."
And let me make something clear. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, seditionist or law-abiding citizen, you leave this poor woman alone. And this woman, and this one. Because any one of them could be her. And better safe than sorry. I mean, how dare you salaciously gossip about this woman after she be best for you. For you. She's bester than any of you. She refurbished. That's how best she is. Did them both. Two for one. Saved your money. She refurbished the White House tennis pavilion for you. It's not for her. You think she has time to play tennis between sending messages via jacket and hating Christmas with all her heart? At this point, the only acceptable option and the bare minimum for the preservation of our democracy is the immediate removal and prosecution of Donald Trump for sedition and the expulsion of anyone who aided him in this coup, including the likes of Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks, who whipped up the mob into a frenzy before it stormed the Capitol. And then after that, we need immediate, far-reaching structural reforms to our democracy. If you're a right-wing pundit, maybe try to summon the same sense of outrage and urgency over losing our democracy that you feel over losing
55,000 Twitter followers.
This has been A Closer Look.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our next guests are sisters and authors of the new book, You Will Never Believe What Happened to Lacey, Crazy Stories About Racism, which is on sale tomorrow. Please welcome to the show Amber Ruffin and Lacey Lamar. Welcome, welcome.
Oh, wow. Hi, Sam.
Now, was this planned?
Well, I had planned it. Lacey bought her dress and then I bought the same dress. And then I asked for the same makeup and hair.
So Lacey, this is a sister of yours who has her own television show. Yeah. She can be on TV once a week.
Whenever,
and yet here she goes and steals your thunder.
Steals my thunder. But you have a younger sibling, so do you kind of know what I'm going through?
Although right now I'm growing my hair out and stealing his thunder, so I think I'm on your side. But thank you so much for being here. Amber, thank you for coming down the hall. So I want to talk about this book. This is based on conversations that you guys have as sisters. How often do you two talk?
All the time. Yeah.
Every time? Although text chain or phone calls? Is it both?
It's all of it. It's text chain. Sometimes things get really important and it's got to be FaceTime. A text will not do. Sometimes I don't want to see her face, so I call her.
She gets angry when I call. I want to call all the time and she doesn't.
I have to see your face.
Interesting. Yeah. So these are real life stories of racist incidents that have happened to you. I should stress, because there are a lot of books, very important books about race right now. This is a very true story and it's very troubling to read it, but it's also very humorous.
Yes, it is.
Is that based on the fact that when you guys talk about these stories, is there laughter involved when you are relaying these things to Amber?
We laugh constantly. And those stories are hilarious. I mean, there's a bad side to them, of course, but when someone thinks you look like Harriet Tubman.
Yes. There's a great story in the beginning about how you you had a Harriet Tubman check.
She had Black History Month checks. So, like, his checks were like Martin Luther King and Marcus Garvey and stuff. And then one of them was Harriet Tubman. She handed this child her Harriet Tubman check. And the cashier goes, oh, I didn't know you could get pictures of yourself on checks. And it's not a special picture of Harriet Tubman that you're not thinking of. It's the picture.
It's that one. A lot of these are workplace stories. And, like, things you've had to endure as a professional. And they're all different kinds of jobs, it should be noted. Mm-hmm. Is there someone particular, if you could pick any one person to read this book or any one type of person, who would it be?
People in workplaces, supervisors, CEOs. I've had to sit across from a CEO and have conversations, and they've blown my mind with racist comments that they've made. So people that are running businesses, that are in HR, that think they know how to talk to people of color, and they have no clue. They need to take a look at the book.
I was shocked to find out the HR stuff, because it's like, the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
It's HR. HR is doing it.
There's a lot of, HR does not, people do not represent themselves well in this book. No. But I'm wondering, as people you know back in Omaha read this book, do you think they will be able to recognize themselves?
They will definitely know.
Okay.
They will remember the moment.
And are there people that you think are excited, knowing you, are excited to read the book, not knowing what's coming down
I've
the pike?
I've had several of those phone calls
really?
And texts. Lacey, I heard a book's coming out. I'm so excited. And I'm like, you're in there.
Because, one of the sort of recurring themes here is a lot of, now again, there is some very purposeful, cruel racism in this book. But there is a lot that I think people would be surprised to hear the effect that it has on the person that they're speaking to.
Definitely.
And that, I think, is one of the helpful things as a way, basically, through this time we're living in, is, like, more people have to be thoughtful of, like, how this is being heard as opposed to how it's being thought of as you're saying it.
Yeah, exactly. People aren't willing to look at the effect it has. They're only willing to look at, like, how culpable am I? How bad did this make me look? But that shouldn't even be a part of it. It should be, what am I doing to people in the world? Lacey, did you want your drink?
Oh, of course.
I got a drink, too. And I, by the way, I think it's very unfair that they were served in Amber Ruffin show glasses. I mean, you know.
Turn it the right
way. You better drink that face out.
What about your mother comes off very well in this book as someone who knows how to deal with bad situations, who stood up for her family. You guys have two other sisters and a brother as well. As a very intelligent woman, a sort of will not, very no-nonsense. Do you think she'll enjoy reading the book?
No, we will be in trouble. And she's going to watch this today, and I am just going to let her know that that is all Amber's fault.
It is Amber's fault.
100%. Tommy Lacey did it. I didn't.
Save me.
No, what will she not like about it, though?
Specifically, the stories about her.
Right, okay.
Now, Mom is, like, super smart. She skipped second grade and seventh grade. She friggin' is a little genius, but...
She's not going to like...
She handled everything with grace, but we chose...
The Disneyland story. I'm going to be grounded.
We chose some bad stuff.
And I'm a grown woman.
Now, what happened? Tell us about the Disney.
No. No. I refuse.
You got to buy the book.
Buy the book.
You got to buy the book. If you want to hear about my mommy at Disneyland.
One nice thing that came out. I mean, I should say, like, it's interesting to me that you think she will... not like, because a lot of nice things, well, she, like, your parents brought home books, right? They really wanted their kids to be readers, and the kind of books they brought home were often... would lead to new hobbies, new passions.
Yeah, down the street from us was a book auction. So every first Sunday of the month, they would go and just bid on a lot of books, which is just a big box of books. But so they would be like, okay, we have Stephen King's It and Moby Dick and blah, blah, blah. But then when you got the book home, there was 50 books in there. So then, like, at the bottom is, like, intro to sailing. And stuff. And so anything, it just built up quite the library. So any hobby you could think of, we already had a book about it. Like, I ended up doing mosaics and learning sign language.
Those are mine. All about gems and rocks.
Gems and rocks.
Yeah, because this thing was down the street. It's in the house. It's the 80s. We are bored.
Gems and rocks. Hey, before we go, it's been so lovely to have you both out together. But let's wish Amber, because Amber doesn't get enough attention, Lacey.
No, I know.
I do want to make sure we pay.
I understand.
It was Amber's birthday on Saturday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Amber!
I turned 27.
And you're her older sister by a year.
Yes. Oh, 28.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys both for being here. This book is, I want to stress how very funny it is. But also, oh, yeah, this is pointless. It's just in one ear, out with that. If she thinks she's on her single, she doesn't listen to a word I say. You'll never believe what happens on Lacey is available tomorrow wherever you buy your books. But please support local and independent bookstores.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. everyone pick sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.